What's up, guys?
What's up?
I was doing the Janet Jackson Rhythm Nation countdown, if you don't know what I'm talking about.
The truth is, she wasn't able to do it. That's the truth. She
it
wasn't
took
doing
me a couple
it.
Tries. If you don't know what we're talking about, check out last week's episode. Our little 5, 4, 3, 2, 1 countdown. And you're just used to doing something so like mechanically that when you try to
do it a different way,
switch it up, boom.
It's hard to teach.
If you're watching
dog
us
new tricks
on YouTube, you'll see the ridiculousness that is me trying to count down from 5 like Janet Jackson. And that's why I'm not her.
That's why. Chill.
But back again with another episode. Thank you for all of your feedback so far. Keep it coming. We love to hear from you how you're connecting with each episode and future episode ideas. There are some days like today that we're like, what are we talking about today? And usually we just reference back things that have been happening in our lives, things that we've been talking about. And so this week, do you want to intro the topic?
Was that a trumpet?
I don't know what that was. A trumpet and a drum.
Last night we had dinner with someone, a representative from our district where we work. And we had the conversation about our relationship and how we don't argue often, but when we do, it's World War III.
Yeah. Not as bad as it used to be.
Not as bad as
in the beginning
to be,
of our marriage. I remember in the beginning of our marriage, we would brag, like, we never argue.
Yeah.
And then our first argument, like a year and a month in, maybe, it was like crazy. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, dang. Like, we fight nasty.
Yes. No. You fight nasty.
And you're so innocent.
No, I'm not innocent.
You're so innocent. I'm not innocent. You're going to hear a live fight right now.
I'm not innocent, but you drop nukes.
I do. I used to fight. I would think of the worst thing that I could say to win the fight. And when I did that for the first time, Mike like paused and was like, do you really think that? And I was like, I don't know. I don't even know what I said. I'm just trying to win right now. And so I've grown in that area a lot. But Mike, in an argument, sometimes he just like completely shuts down and then gets monotone, which drives me crazy.
Because I'm trying to access my inner counselor. And then I'm just like, okay, we need to fix this.
He gets very monotone and it's really annoying.
And professional.
So that enrages me more.
Yeah.
Or he'll just like walk away. Which like red zone again. Mm-hmm. So we have throughout.
Why is that a red zone, Jillian?
I just don't like when people just like leave. Like just let's figure this out. You know what I mean? And right. Like sometimes you have to go through the landmines to get to safety in an area. Is that a good analogy?
Sure.
I don't even know how that makes sense, but we're going with it. But it's taken. Now we'll be married for 8 years in August, and I feel like we've made a lot of improvements in our argument style.
For sure.
We still like we're not perfect. A lot of times when
we're getting there,
no, we're not.
I said I'm getting there.
again, we will fight live on this podcast. I feel we have improved for sure. Mm-hmm. But I don't know where I was going with that.
No, but yeah, I think though, regardless of what you're arguing about, regardless of your experiences with conflict and arguments, when I do marriage counseling, I start off by saying, I ask them, what is the foundation of every good relationship? You know, and because I'm a pastor, Jesus? Yeah, it is Jesus, but like, normal people would say communication, right? Everyone says communication is the foundation of every good relationship. Mm-hmm. I disagree.
I disagree as well, but I'm curious as to why you disagree in comparison with why I disagree.
I disagree because I've had people explain very well and communicate very well why they can't stand each other when they're on the counseling couch, right? You could be honest and even honorable and still have a crappy relationship.
Yeah.
So what is it that makes a relationship healthy when you have two imperfect people coexisting, trying to lead a family together, trying to manage their resources together, trying to live life? What is it that keeps them together I think and believe wholeheartedly it's the element of forgiveness. Because when you have two imperfect people living with each other, you're going to make mistakes.
Okay.
And so if communication can't be, it's a good part of a relationship, but I don't think it's the foundation of a good relationship.
I think that even connection ranks higher than communication. Because a lot of times when you feel disconnected, you're not communicating.
Right.
A lot of times we've recognized when we do get into arguments, it's because we feel disconnected. It's because we're running ourselves rampant and traveling here and traveling there, and we just haven't like sat down and like connected, and that affects communication. I was listening to a podcast this morning about the whole Scandoval debate, and like one of Ariana's complaints was like,
explain what that means, a Scandoval debate. What show is that from?
Vanderpump Rules. It's one of my guilty pleasures, but this relationship of 9 years, the guy cheated on her with their best friend, which I'm like, I don't know that you're best friends, but whatever. And his complaint was they weren't having sex a lot. And she was like, well, I don't feel connected to you. Like, I can't just get into it when I don't see you, we don't do anything together, da, da, da. And she was like begging for that like connection, and it created all these problems because there was a lack of connection. And like I said, it affects communication, it affects intimacy, like all those things.
Right.
So I wouldn't even say that communication is the foundation. I would say connection, but in regards to that, listening to your part, like forgiveness, but forgiveness requires humility.
Yeah.
And so I wonder if the supreme foundation of that would be humility over forgiveness.
Wow. Yeah. That's good.
I hate to like...
No,
throw a wrench. No, you didn't throw a wrench at all. Plan,
so yeah. So you got, you
or
got,
if I'm jumping us ahead.
No. I think humility makes forgiveness happen, right?
Yes. So you have to be humble to do that. 100%.
But then you can't have a connection without forgiveness.
Yeah.
Right? Forgiveness, if you don't deal with your forgiveness issues, you won't be able to have a connection.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So what is forgiveness? I think a lot of people in our society think that forgiveness is a dismissal of what the person did. And that's not what forgiveness is.
No.
You can still admit that something wrong was done.
Yes.
Okay. I don't, and you could disagree with me with the semantics of this, but like, I don't believe in forgive and forget.
No.
Right? Because you, in order to forgive, you have to remember what was done.
Yes.
Right? So I think forgiveness in layman's terms would be releasing that person of the debt that was created by their offense. Okay.
Okay. Say that in simpler terms for people. I know you said layman's terms, but that's not layman's terms.
So forgiveness is like not, I would say it this way. Forgiveness is making sure that I'm going to give you another chance to earn what you've lost.
Mm-hmm.
That's what forgiveness is.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not, you're not a doormat.
Mm-hmm.
Like a lot of people, like especially in the church world, like just lay down and just let people punch you and walk all over you and all this other stuff. That is not, I don't believe that's anything with forgiveness. I think it's that my job is to make sure that that path between us, forgiveness is making sure the path between us is clear, but I can't walk your steps of restoration. So there's a difference between forgiveness and restoring the relationship, right? So, but if I'm holding a debt, And I'm making you jump through hurdles and constant hurdles, that is not real forgiveness at all.
Yeah.
Right? So I'm giving you a chance to not hurt me again.
Yeah.
I'm giving you a chance to not make that mistake again.
Mm-hmm.
However, there are going to be some boundaries set and expectations that need to be met in order for you to earn that restoration back in my life. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So I think that needs to be clear. Especially I run this into... when, again, marriage counseling, especially when there's infidelity involved.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, I want to say this really clearly. I believe that with humility, any relationship can recover from infidelity.
Mm-hmm.
If both of them remain humble and are willing to do the work.
Mm-hmm.
Period. I do believe that. I used to grow up think, you know, my mother, shout out to mom, love you, but you were wrong in this. She would say things like, once a cheater, always a cheater.
Uh-huh.
And I agree. Mm-hmm. I agree that the hardest it's going to take for you to cheat is just the first time, and then it gets easier and easier as it goes. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
But in that, I do believe that I've watched couples. There's a beautiful couple in our church that they've gotten divorced.
Mm-hmm.
Worked on their issues and then got remarried.
Yeah.
And now they're, you know, in a great relationship. So it's possible. I just mm-hmm. want to give hope to some people who think that there isn't any hope. Mm-hmm. But I think with proper coaching and counseling and that kind of stuff, that when you offer that element of forgiveness, you have to work through what is real forgiveness. And I've watched couples with infidelity go, especially the person who was cheated on.
Mm-hmm.
I'll have them list out clearly, hey, this is how to earn my trust again, mm-hmm. right? So, hey, you know, you can't hide your phone from me anymore. You can't, you know, have secrets. You can't do this. You can't turn off your locations. You can't, you know what I mean? So they've stated their expectations, but months go by, as that person is earning back their trust,
mm-hmm.
remember, their forgiveness is making sure that pathway is clear. They start moving backwards.
Mm-hmm.
And making the distance as they get closer.
So adding more things on that they need to do.
Adding more
things,
adding more hurdles, adding more stuff. Because what I've seen happen too often is that the person who did cheat, if you continue to treat them as though they're continuing to cheat, eventually they go, I messed up once and I'm being treated as though I'm constantly messing up.
Mm-hmm.
So I might as well just do it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm paying the penalty for the crime,
yeah,
that I'm not doing anymore.
Yeah,
I might as well do the crime anyway.
Yeah,
and sometimes people who are hurt without proper counseling don't understand that, because mm-hmm. they think I've forgiven them, they're still living with me.
Mm-hmm.
But forgiveness is again releasing that debt. Does
yeah.
that make sense?
Yeah, yeah, 100%.
So, that's the hard parts of it, and you know, the misconceptions of forgiveness is tough too, because you have to overcome the thoughts of, well, if I forgive the person, that means I'm being weak, right?
Mm-hmm.
If I forgive the person, then they're not going to learn their lesson.
Mm-hmm.
If I forgive the person, then, you know, they're just going to do it again.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have to overcome those misconceptions. Have you ever struggled in those areas about yes. forgiving?
Yeah, I think all of them, mm-hmm. Because I guess essentially because I wasn't in a place of humility to put myself aside. And I know at the end of the day that it is good to forgive.
Yeah.
And I've had instances where I've gone and personally apologized to someone because it wasn't sitting right within me. And whether they accept that or not, that's not I can't make someone accept an apology. But I feel like when I have apologized sincerely for that, it relieved a lot. It took a lot of weight off of me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I didn't do it for that reason, because there's just times where I don't want burn bridges around me. And I would love to maybe see where that relationship could go in the future. But if not, that's okay as well. But yeah, there are times where it's if someone apologizes to you, mm-hmm. If you forgive them, well, I'm just letting them off the hook.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, well, they don't really mean it. Da, da, da. And I think maybe to counteract some misconceptions, it would be wise to put yourself in that person's position. You know,
right.
If they're coming to you and apologizing, yeah,
that's
what does that
humility
feel?
Piece.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. What does that feel like for them? And rather than me thinking they don't mean it or they don't deserve it or da, 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 oh, that was really big of them to come and apologize from such a humble place. And I'm not talking about I'm sorry, you know mm-hmm. what I mean? But a really thoughtful, sincere apology, putting yourself in that person's shoes may help you release that misconception or that,
yeah.
that just mindset of they don't really mean that.
Yeah,
you know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah. Not only that, I love that you brought that up. I think another misconception that I cover with the premarital counseling is that you don't have to wait for an apology to forgive someone.
Yeah.
And some people struggle with that, but it's true. I've actually had to help people forgive a parent that has passed away,
mm-hmm.
or, you know, an ex-boyfriend or girlfriend that doesn't even live in the area anymore and they have no contact with, right? Mm-hmm. That you have to still find it in your heart to forgive them for your own benefit.
Yeah.
I'm going to jack up the quote, but it's someone said that forgiveness is setting the captive free, but realizing you are the one in bondage.
Yeah.
So it holds you back.
Yep.
But this isn't planned, but this is too real. So let's go here.
Okay.
Is it that the person that you're struggling with forgiving, like, true unforgiveness is lived out where it's like you wish harm on the person. You wish that person gets their karma, you know, comes to them and that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, is it that you just don't desire a relationship with that person? Or is it that you are really not forgiving them?
I feel like I could answer this away and someone might be like, she is a terrible person.
But you're human. Well, let's humanize ourselves. Human. Like you said that you're still working. You're still working it
out. So there are some people that I have not forgiven, but I don't desire a relationship at all.
Right.
So in my mind, like, there's no urgency to forgiveness at this time. Right. Could that come later if I feel like that's really like...
But I'm wondering, are you mixing restoration and forgiveness? Like, maybe you do forgive them, like you're over it, you're moving past it. Mm-hmm. Right, you don't wish that a house falls on their head. You don't
wish.
It
depends on the day. But there are some people in my life that I am not cool with who they are, what they do, how they act, how they treat people, and I'm not in a place to talk to them about that. However, their actions affect my life. And I don't know.
But do you wish harm on them?
I don't wish harm on them, but I do wish that one day it is spoken out loud, that it is seen what they do. There's been effects of what they do and they're held accountable for that. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I'm not sure if that's, I don't know, but I'm not sure that that's unforgiveness. I think that might be sometimes, again, unforgiveness is like you're in bondage to it. It's holding you back. You won't sleep at night because they're not getting what's due to them. You know what I mean? Like, that's the type of unforgiveness.
I don't think it keeps me up at night. I think it angers me at times.
Yeah. You could desire justice.
Yes, it's more of an injustice piece because I'm like, look at me, look at what I'm doing, and then this one gets to do whatever, and it's unfair.
You know what I mean?
Right. So maybe I am confusing that. Like all over the place today.
No, that's good. I think this is a very complex topic. So anyone who claims to be an expert on it, even, you know, I don't care who you are, if you're human, you're going to struggle in this area, right? I know we have some people that listen that aren't into Christianity or God, but I do believe that forgiveness is a divine act. Sometimes you need a supernatural push because it's so unnatural.
Yeah.
Right? You punch me, I want to punch you back.
Yeah.
Right? You hurt me, you want to lie about me, I want to put you on blast.
Yeah.
Right? That's just your human nature. So it does require an external force to help you in this area.
Yeah.
But it is essential. But definitely is essential. But as you're talking about it, I was like, I hear you. I think it's less about forgiveness and it's more about you just don't desire to bring back, restore whatever the relationship was.
Yeah.
Because now we're just different paths.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And you could do that even when forgiveness isn't involved or unforgiveness isn't involved, right? Sometimes, you know, we're talking to our boys right now, like, hey, like most of the time your friends that you had in high school, for no negative reasons, you just go different paths and you're not friends anymore. You know what I mean? How many, you only have what, one friend from high school left?
Pretty much,
in your life? You know, I have none.
Yeah.
So, you know, in that, it could just be a change in life and a change in season, but to not confuse it with unforgiveness, because unforgiveness can cause some damage to your mental health, even your physical health. Like, research has showed that, like, when people are more efficient in their forgiveness. Research has showed that it reduces stress levels, blood pressure, it improves immune function, which is crazy, and it decreases symptoms of depression and anxiety when you learn how to forgive. Again, releasing that debt, clearing that path. And again, doesn't mean restoration, but the element of forgiveness. I've seen that happen. I've seen, obviously, not only the physical well-being, but the psychological well-being, where studies have shown that individuals who you know, forgive, they're less prone to have mental issues and those kind of things. Also, relationship benefits, like studies have shown that individuals who are more forgiving in their romantic relationships experience higher level of relationship quality, increased commitment, and better conflict resolution skills, right? The emotional regulation is a big, huge benefit of forgiving people. Like, when you can learn to forgive someone, you're also learning to get your emotions in check. So you're not being led by your emotions, but you're leading your emotions.
Yeah.
So emotional regulation is a huge benefit. And lastly, I think self-forgiveness. The more I learn to forgive others, the better I get at even forgiving myself. You know, for some of you who, you know, self-doubt, self-sabotage, you're self-critical, to learn to like forgive yourself. And the more you get used to, actually, I think it's twofold. If you, a person who forgives himself, can easily forgive others because of that humility and empathy. When you add humility and empathy together, where it's just like, okay, I get it. You screwed me over. Have I ever screwed somebody over before? Yeah. So not only do I'm gonna take a slice of humble pie and remember that I've done something similar to that and extend that empathy, I can forgive myself, I can forgive you, and that creates this emotional benefit of, you know, learning to love myself and grow. You know, when I'm get my handles on this power called, you know, forgiveness. But so let's just say I'm gonna push you on this. What would happen?
I'm on the couch right now.
What would happen if that individual that you're struggling with forgiving, right? What would happen if that person came to you tomorrow and said, Jillian, would they call you Jillian? Yeah, Jillian. I've realized what I've done was horrible, selfish, and completely manipulative. And that must have made you feel disrespected.
Are
disregarded.
You seven-stepping me right now? I hate this.
Disrespected, disregarded, and unappreciated. I'm really sorry for doing that. And I know I can't rewind the tape and undo what I did, but I just want to let you know I'm really sorry. What would that do?
I don't know. I would accept that. I would say I appreciate that. You know what I mean?
But would it unlock anything in you? Not for a relationship.
Yeah.
But would it unlock, like, okay, like the chapter's over? Would it create closure? Would it? Yeah.
I guess maybe in a sense closure. I would have more questions, and I think, if we're talking about the same situation, I don't really need questions answered. You know what I mean? So, and I think the hard thing is when it comes to forgiveness, the person saying, the person apologizing may have different expectations than the person receiving the apology. So that could create this like, okay, well, I said I'm sorry. Like, could we go back to things being normal? And the other person being like, nah, bro, not interested, you know? So I don't know. I don't know. I'm not
I like what you just said there. Like, the person asking for forgiveness can have different expectations than the person that needs to offer forgiveness. That needs to be discussed a lot more.
Yeah, well, I recently had an interaction like this, that I apologized to someone for something that happened years and years and years ago, because it just wasn't sitting right with me. And it kept on like coming up for me. So I apologized, but I had zero expectations going into it.
Yeah.
And for me, it was like, okay, if things just continue to be the way they are, like, that's okay.
Yep.
And if we want to, like, look into things again, like, that's okay. I'm good either way. I just wanted, like, it wasn't well within my soul that I wasn't able to apologize for wrongdoing on my part.
Yeah.
But if I had gone into that interaction with expecting, like, okay, we're going to be like BF again, and that's not what was reciprocated, like, that could be like, is it truly an apology if the receiver of the apology does not match the expectations that you have for it?
Say that again.
I don't even know how I said it. Like, if you're apologizing to someone with a desired outcome,
yes,
and they don't give you that desired outcome, is it still is your apology still valid?
Yeah.
Or are you withdrawing that because they're not responding the way you want them to?
Wow. What a powerful
statement. Is it really an apology?
Is it really a humble apology?
Yeah.
If there's expectations attached to it.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll throw the microphone again.
And we're going to end it right there, folks. We're going to end it right there.
That was not planned. It was just...
Yeah, we're going to end it right there. That's... Wow.
Yeah, maybe process that this week.
Yeah.
You know, like, if there's someone that you apologize to and it didn't turn out the way you wanted it to, was it truly an apology on your behalf? Or if you're considering something, if there's something... And honestly, like, if there's something weighing on you, I found this out in my 40s. If there's something weighing on you of wrongdoing on your behalf, whether it be something very, very minor and trivial or something big, there's so much power in apologizing to that person. Mm-hmm. If anything, I feel like it strengthens your character and it strengthens that relationship with that person, if there is relationship, because they're able to look at you and be like, wow, like, mm-hmm, they're really not this selfish person. Like, they can admit wrongdoing.
Yeah.
So if there's something going on in your life and you feel like just like this, the smallest twitch, like, you know what, I should probably apologize for that. It takes a lot of humility and putting your pride aside to have the awareness of, like, you know what, I could blame this on this person, but this was my part in it.
Yeah.
And for owning up, do it. It's so freeing. It really is. And it improves your character. It makes it easier to do it again. I've apologized to multiple people in the past year for things that were like years and years old, or even things currently that, mm-hmm, hey, you know, like, I was doing this and I'm sorry about that. And you may not even have realized it, but I'm really sorry. And it really had, it, I feel like it's grown me a lot. And it's grown me in humility, mm-hmm, at most, which I think humility could be the foundation in anything as we go through life. And it's lowered my anxiety in areas and stuff like that. Cause like something that, you say to Hunter a lot, like, nothing's as scary as it ever seems. And like, you know, you may go to a person and apologize and they could be like, that's great, but I don't accept your apology. Like, but at least you took the initiative and then you had the courage to do it. And it's not that scary that they, obviously, if they get like violent or something, like, that could be scary, but like, it's not that scary. It's not the end of the world, but you've shown your character to do that. But like, really, like, search yourself with that. And I encourage you to step out and be the bigger person and offer an apology so that someone can have forgiveness in their life.
Yeah.
They can experience the gift of that because it is truly a gift.
Yeah. Yeah. That's brilliant. Perfect. I learned to implement something even in my marriage counseling now. True apologies have no expectations. That's powerful.
Yeah.
And if you could, you know, sometimes I think AA teaches people to do that when you're seeking restoration. If that person rejects you, that you take it. And that's the pain you caused, and you own it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, without humility, you can't own it.
Yeah.
So you own that pain. But learn to forgive yourself as well. So, if you're listening, man, or watching, what do you need? Who do you need to forgive? Number one, and ask yourself the question: you know, can you empathize with that? Can you find empathy with the person you need to forgive with? You know, Shia LaBeouf.
I think it's LaBeouf.
Shia LaBeouf said that if you could empathize with your there is no freedom like finding empathy with your enemies. He was talking about his father, and I think that's brilliant. Like, if you could find empathy with your enemies, you get this level of freedom where it's just like the whole world's not against you. The whole world, that everyone's just dealing with their brokenness.
Yeah.
And so, you know, when you extend that empathy, so, you know, who do you need to forgive, and who do you need to apologize to with no expectations?
Yeah.
And figure that out this week.
Okay. Yeah, that's good. Well, thank you. I don't know. This probably went longer than our typical podcast, but I think it was worth it.
Yeah.
If you got anything out of this, please send us your feedback. Give us a follow, a subscribe, a thumbs up, a share, whatever it is. You can catch us on Instagram at Jillian Rosato, at Mike Rosato, on TikTok at Jillian.Rosato, at Mike Rosato, on YouTube. I don't know what our YouTube handle is. Amateur over here does not have his ringer off on his phone. Didn't you learn this in our last episode?
I know. Forgive me.
I see what you did there. All right, guys. That's all we have for you this week. We will see you next Wednesday right here, Too Real. Bye. Peace.